Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a premium interior paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this going to be?
Moneyline.
Oh! Are you kidding me? Humdiddly-dee!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Thursday afternoon, no better place to be than right here on the Sports Grid Network. The best hour of your day officially now is underway. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. Big doings here. We are, of course, people, going to talk about what took place yesterday in the NBA. We're going to take a look at the Major League Baseball card today. We are also officially, people, in hitting weather season. Multiple games around 90 degrees with winds blowing out today. And also live, the U.S. Open is here. I made my selection. We'll see who Kevin's selections are, but I want to start here. Luka Doncic completely blew that basketball game. It's the only way you can think about it, Kevin. That's it. It's the only way you can think about it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, no doubt about it. DRS was going to come in here, tune me up, saw the Twitter. I am legitimately about to lose my mind. This guy is the best player in this series by a country mile. And I mean, these fools are talking about defense. Donnie, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Dallas Mavericks down 3-0 right now because of their defense? Or because they haven't scored 100 points yet in this series?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go that direction.
Yeah, I mean, come on. This is... But it's no surprise, Donnie. You know what this is? This is people returning to their roots. People who don't watch basketball... Find a conversation piece off of either social media or from the broadcast, and they run with it. That's where the winner's locker room. Shut up.
Yeah.
All right? How about that? How about if I switched Luka Doncic and Jaylen Brown, they would have canceled the series. They would have canceled. They would have been like, sorry, this is too much of a mismatch. If I switched Luka and Tatum, they would have said, you know what, Dallas, go home. We're actually going to do a Team USA scrimmage or something. This is a waste of our time.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous, Donnie. Some embarrassing commentary out there. Very bad.
Yeah, he's catching heat right now. There's no doubt about it. I liked the Dallas Mavericks coming into that game number 3. And a lot of the times, particularly like in the NBA, especially the finals and throughout the playoffs, you want to get a feel for the games. Now, granted, the games finish way past my bedtime. But most of the time, Kevin, I'm watching a lot of baseball, but I'll tune in to chunks of like a game. Like, okay, let me get the vibe. All right, they're up 13-10. I'll check back in 15, 20 minutes. Always checking the stats because I got multiple bets going on anyway. But having said that, like, yesterday was one of those games, like, I need to watch this one because I got to see what Dallas is doing. And I hung in there right through halftime, and I said to myself, watching that first quarter where you saw Kyrie Irving getting in it, being aggressive to the rim, 3-point shots going down, and all I could watch at the end of that first quarter was like, now hold on, this should be a 15-point game. It's a 1-point lead for Dallas. Now, granted, they didn't lose the game because of it. It just felt like the deflating air was like, wait a second here. Like, we had that good a start. We're up 1 point at this point. And I'm just shocked, actually. The second quarter didn't mind. It was lower scoring. It's okay. Close game at the break. Well, come on, Dallas, man. You can't get smoked in your own building in game number 3 that you need in the third quarter. And I understand people. Well, Donnie, 3 minutes to go in that game. It was a 2-point. I get all that. You spent so much energy coming all the way back from damn near 20 points down that you couldn't get over the hump. That was my issue. I felt after that first quarter how deflating it must have been for the Mavericks backers.
Well, it's one of those situations, you know, we talk so, when you bury yourself like that, Donnie, mm-hmm. right? You're fighting uphill all game. And so often when we did In Play Sports Tonight, the phrase we would throw around is show lead, right? You mm-hmm. have to cross through. They didn't cross through. At no point did the Mavericks grab the lead in that game. And by the time, you know, you were hoping that, oh, this could be the moment, Luka fouled out. He did. Tough and scene. Now, listen, as much as I'm defending Luka, mm-hmm. I mean, a boneheaded decision. No other way to describe it. That is a horrid miscalculation on what you should be doing in that moment. Quite frankly, it would have been better off if Jaylen Brown pulled up for an open three and hit it than you attempt to get that charge. That was such a miscalculation on Luka Doncic. But again, man, Don, I heard some people being like, man, Luka went into like complain ref mode and it completely broke their offense. What the hell are they talking about? Luka was out there for the entire run. Luka was out there for the entire run. It was 90-93. He fouled out, and then Boston separated. Are people really not watching the finals? Like, what is going on here? What is happening?
People were upset with Luka last night. You know, a little bit of pouting up and down the court, yelling at the refs. Windy? Can we get Windhorse on to talk to you today about, you know, Luka Doncic versus the world?
Now, Donnie, I'm defending Luka today. Nobody, other than folks who tailed the bet with me, should be angrier than me at Luka Doncic. Did you see what happened yesterday?
What did you have? It's over? Yeah, what did you have?
Four-leg parlay, Donnie.
Uh-oh.
30-plus.
Ooh.
30-plus.
Oh.
30-plus. 30-plus. Oh. Tatum, oh. Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving,
wow.
Luka Doncic, 94-1.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, that's as negative EV as you could possibly get with multiple players on each team getting 30 points. And the fact of the matter is, obviously you'll explain to the people how it ended and how angry you were, but watching that first quarter-ish, Tatum's three balls are going down. 13 points right away from, like, Luka Doncic. Kyrie's in his bag. You're like, ooh, you know what? Because all in those bets, all you're asking for is a chance. Because you know how it usually turns out, Kevin. Luka goes for 50, Kyrie gets 14. You're like, well, you know, I should have just went 50 points, probably same, you know, 40-1 I could have thrown in that parlay. But the fact of the matter that's the way it lost with that player when you knew he was going to shoot a ton and he did and still didn't get there. Because I'll tell you right now, he plays that final 4.5 minutes. That's a gold mine. It's a gold mine.
100%. I'll tell people just a little additional background, but I had a $5 free bet on DraftKings, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I put it on the four guys to get 30. Because, Don, you know, it's a $5 mm-hmm. free bet, right?
Yeah.
You know, let's see if we can go.
That's what the design is. That's the design. Not $5 to win $3 back. Yes.
Exactly.
That's the design.
It was 50-1, the payout. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you know I can't help myself. I go, let me see what it is on FanDuel. Mm-hmm. And it was basically double, Donnie. It was 94-1. So I went, you know what? I'll just put another $5 down, right? Why? I'm $10 in. Like, Donnie,
yes.
I won money last night on that basketball game.
Yeah.
Comfortably. Because it was a $10 loss, but it was going mm-hmm. to pay back over $750. And knowing to what Donnie just said, the only reason that bet lost is Luka fouled out. You want to know something funnier, though, Diaz? Is Tatum entered that quarter with 27. He was sitting on 29 for a century. And all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? Don't get it. Make this easier on me.
Yes, that's a, yep.
And they fouled Tatum. Because, of course, Tatum, Donnie. Here's the deal. If Luka had the 30, Tatum lands 29 and makes sure I don't get home anyway.
Sure.
I try to tell myself.
Yep, with a missed free throw at the end of the game to clinch it. That's always the way it happens. Now, we got to set something up. Because we'll keep it here. And again, Major League Baseball is going on right now. Braves 3-0 over the Orioles. Tigers 1-1 with the Nationals. Nationals. The Yankees are just underway in that game. Got a couple RBI props there. Took Velasquez, Witt for Kansas City, and I took Aaron Judge. Really wanted to take Stanton, but he sat. So we went with, hold on, who did we go with after that? Another writing. Gleyber Torres, excuse me. So we do have four RBI props in that game. Something just to keep an eye on. A decent card overall. And I do want to set up the MVP race here in the finals, which again, it's very, very intriguing when you look to see who's the favorite and by how much that favorite is. And then you look at the actual statistics and go, now hold on, this shouldn't be this wide of a gap, but for some reason it is. And also, sometimes I just want to go back 24 hours in time. I did okay on Wednesday, Kevin. I did okay on Tuesday, but if those days would have flip-flopped, oh my goodness, the money I actually would have won. And I'm going to tell you about that next. So a lot of good stuff on the horizon. Make sure you keep it right here on SiriusXM Channel 159.
We're here. 4 out of 5 scientists agree it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. And we're pretty sure that one scientist is still a virgin. He just gives that vibe. This is Sports Grid Radio on SiriusXM.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Beautiful golf course, Pinehurst number 2, where the U.S. Open is currently taking place. Round number 1 today. Patrick Cantlay, the American, shot 65 today, minus 5. Ludvig Åberg, 4 under. Matthew Pavon, 3 under. Tony Finau, 2 under. And a host of players at 1 under par. People got excited early. Tiger with a quick birdie. That faded fast. And now we're on Tiger Watch. Can he actually make it to the weekend? But I'm enjoying the coverage. The golf course looks sensational from TV. Looks like a lot. A lot of craziness can happen on the greens here, so we'll see what happens. I took Bryson DeChambeau as my one play in the tournament. 50% boost on any bet on Bet365, and you know me.
Oh, nice.
I never would take, hey, by the way, DeChambeau to win it, 20-1 boosted up, massive payday. I went $100 for him to make top 20, which was minus 105, and boosted that up for a nice little payday that I think I can get. Not looking for the wins, and the reason I took that too is, you know, we had Charlie Hulme on, who's with the Smiley Kaufman podcast that we run here on the Sports Grid Network. Great stuff, great guy, so much fun, adds great insight. And you, like, I know golf, like, okay, who the good players are, who probably can prevail. But he was really high on Bryson DeChambeau. And it wasn't like, well, the only reason I took him was because of him, but I just need like a little push in the right direction. Because I was looking at a couple guys and I just figured the LIV Golf Tour, you can't really take anything away from that. But DeChambeau, Kevin, two quote-unquote PGA Tour events. Now, granted, not really PGA Tour events, but playing with PGA Tour players, yeah, which were major championships. Tied 6th and 2nd overall. I just said, you know what? He's just bored right now on the LIV Golf Tour. When the pressure ramps up, we'll be able to get after it. Got a couple good notes from Charlie Hulme. I was like, you know what? That makes sense. Now, granted, he might be able to win the tournament. I don't need that, Kevin. I'm getting a nice price on just to make it into the top 20. I figured that's a good bet because I can cheer that on pretty much all weekend long. Unless, again, it's not just an utter disaster.
Yeah, let me give one that people, I think, will absolutely love, Donnie, which is the finishing positions that you can parlay. I know you can parlay them on FanDuel. You can parlay them on DraftKings if you want. Yeah. Donnie, I just took a very simple Ludvig Åberg, Scottie Scheffler, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, top 20 parlay, plus 125, boosted it up to around plus 150. Mm-hmm. That is... You know, you talk about, hey, where's it going to go wrong? I don't know. Scotty finishing outside of the top 20 feels insane, and the same with Xander. And Cantlay and Ludvig are 1 and 2 right now. Mm-hmm. Now, the other bet I made is a tougher sell, which is Cantlay to win this tournament. But I just bet it. So he was 65-1 before the tournament. I've stopped betting golf pre-tournament. I'm not good enough at it, right?
Yeah.
But I can follow a live board and whatnot and give myself an opportunity. And I have the round one lead with a guy in Patrick Cantlay. We know DRS. He is a caliber of golfer that can win this tournament. Now, he's not playing well entering this tournament, missed the cut at the Memorial, but we know he is a pedigree golfer. And he was plus 750. I had a nice 50% odds boost in the pocket. That took it up to plus 1125. So I have Donnie, a pedigree golfer, round one leader, barring a miracle, at better than 11-1. I thought that was worth it. I figure with Cantlay, I'm going to be in the mix going into Sunday because this is supposed to be a hard course.
Correct. Right?
The pre-tournament over-under was, would the winning score be 5.5 under, basically. 5 under, 6 under. So he's already at 5. So I was happy to play Cantlay. I know, oh, you didn't get 65. Yeah, that's fine. I didn't get 65. I got 11-1 on Patrick Cantlay with the lead. I'm happy about that, RS.
Yes, and also this golf course will get tougher as the week goes. It'll dry out, so it's the hot, humid conditions, and we know what the USGA does. You want to go a little bit low today? We'll change this pin. We'll shift this pin around. Yeah, we'll make this tee box about feet. Exactly. They'll get offended and then turn it into a mockery, which is great. Because if you do, it's a lot different than, let's just say, and I don't even want to say the Masters, just a normal, let's just say PGA tournament or PGA championship. 17 under is the winner. You're like, all right, it was 5 under. Okay, a lot of guys are going to be there. You're looking at a tournament that you're right. 5 under is almost like a miracle score, and you got there. You just have to hang around and say, all right, if I go out the rest of this weekend, Kevin, and never make a birdie but never get a bogey, you might be in the final grouping on Sunday. That's the way it plays out. So a lot of fun there. Golf course looks great. And by the way, watching Scottie Scheffler early, Kevin, a lot of miss hits here so far. He's plus one already. And I was looking at Scottie Scheffler for this tournament. Like maybe that was going to be about 50% just to win it. And then I'm like, well, why not just go like 50% top five, which wasn't even a 1-to-1 bet on the way back. I'm like, oh, you're going to be so disappointed. Like, you know, let me just stay away. Because just hearing Scottie Scheffler's never been to Pinehurst and, you know, he's coming in on this. It's a tough golf course. I still think he wins it technically, even though he's not playing well early. I just didn't bet him. I didn't bet him.
Well, but let's say this though, Donnie, right? Now, I think everybody, if everybody was the same price, right? Like everybody would take Scottie, you know, in golf, you're trying to find the number, but what's the score, Donnie, that Scheffler finishes with where he is? Cause he's still now at this moment, the favorite to win this tournament.
Yeah.
What does Scott have to shoot to be the favorite for this tournament today? 2 under?
Probably. Yeah.
I mean, do because we have a live score on him? Let me see if I can find that. Go ahead.
A live price or score? What do you mean?
No, score. You know what? Like,
he's plus.
So his,
oh,
it's locked.
I got
it's locked.
But Donnie,
his over under right now is 70.5.
Yeah.
So that's will he or won't he shoot par? Right?
Yes. I think he will. Like even when he's playing bad golf, like I don't know the bad golf plus 1 through 3. It happens all the time. Here's the interesting part about that overall is you're taking a look at the way it sets up. He didn't even hit the golf course, and it was 5 shots back with numerous people under par. They're like, yeah, we're not moving his number. Like usually when you get into a major, it's like, hey, the favorite didn't take the golf course. Whoa, this guy's 6 under par. Yeah, we got to shift that a little bit. Books were like, no. We saw this before because he'll probably come out and bounce one into the first hole for an eagle again, and away we go.
And they have seen it before. I don't remember the exact tournament, but there was one I heard people talking, you know, they were talking about it where they all of a sudden moved the number to like an 11. 13-1, and darn thing, and everybody bet him because it was Scotty. So they're going to be hesitant here, but this guy's 5 shots off the lead, 4 shots off the lead after one. Again, like that's why I'm. If you remove Scotty, Donnie, everybody else now, you like, oh man, I love my tickets here. I absolutely love what I'm bringing to the table.
Yeah, exactly. If you took that shot to say, I don't want Scottie Scheffler and he's starting to play bad, you are feeling so good. But again, it's a long round number one. We'll see what actually happens here.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball stories and much, much more. They're going to come up next. And also, the Atlanta Braves. Can they finally win a game against the Orioles? We're certainly going to find that out. It's Donnie and Kevin right here in the afternoon on Thursday afternoon. Right here on the grid. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money.
money. Dollar bill, y'all. All right, Bryson DeChambeau, even on the first three holes of his day, 10, 11, and 12. So we'll see if he can continue that. I'll take an even par. I just need a top 20 out of my guy, and we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. Now, Kevin, as we were talking on Tuesday, about like FanDuel, fantasy baseball. I didn't win any money that night. I only did one tournament. I think it was $25, and I didn't finish. And that comes with having a pitcher, Kevin, that didn't record a win and still got 47 points. And I didn't place in the money at that point because the one game I was zeroing in on was the Diamondbacks and the Angels. Like, that was my backbone game. I still had a decent night overall, but the guys that I thought would be able to do some damage did not do that. And when I say when I woke up this morning and checked the final score, I believe, I'm not looking at the scoreboard right now, I think it was 8-3, 11 runs. And when I tell you every single player I would have had either had a double, home run, and RBI, like Marte and Walker, when I bet them, didn't do anything that night. It was a sham. It was like, oh, well. Mm-hmm. Marte and Walker cashed in big. Flip it over to the Angels. That unheralded lineup that lines up so well sometimes against right-handed pitching.
Yep.
Neto, Rengifo, Adele, and Pilar. Either home runs, doubles, all of them had RBIs yesterday. So I look at that from one day, from one game, what actually could have been. Because even that night as well, I didn't lose money. I didn't win a lot of money. But if those guys, who I believe only like one guy, want to say, actually got an RBI for me out of those like 5, 6, 7 guys, and I still had a decent night in a round robin, those guys would have all been pinging off the other guys, I bet. And yesterday, it sort of just made me laugh when I saw it. Like, of course that's what happened. I said, well, Donnie, you got to go back on those guys. It's about the handicap. The handicap otherwise would have went right back on those guys. Same way, like, I'm, hey, Aaron Judge today, got to get back on him, even though he didn't score an RBI last night. Not because he didn't get one last night, but again, it makes sense to take him today. So I was just looking at that yesterday, sort of with a little bit of a laugh, like, boy, if that was one day before FanDuel, I probably would have won the tournament with ease. Round robins would have pinged around, I probably would have picked up at least $1,000. Didn't happen there. That's what happens.
I think it's funny because it, like you just said, it doesn't really make sense, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like a NBA Finals series where the matchups are the same game after game after game. I think it does, though, speak to a favorite of mine, Donnie, which is the bounce-back spot. Let's just take your Zach Neto, right? Because all the numbers were popping off of the charts, and he ended up disappointing on, what was that, Tuesday night, right?
Yes.
So the fact of the matter is, Neto is now kind of, if the numbers are true, he, even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by. So there is a reason, even if it's frustrating and almost a little bizarre, there's a reason, I still think, why that happens so frequently. You know, I know it was the same for you, but the other day, Tom Vecchio was tweeting out, like, this guy Christian Walker, man, like, day late, dollar short kind of thing.
Yep.
You know? And that's just what happens sometimes with these guys.
Yeah, it is. And it's a shame. Gets me angry. But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point. So something to keep an eye on here moving forward. Yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
I want to just throw a baseball game at you. I know we're going to go through the card, but there's one that's been just staring at, you know, eyes at me. Red Sox, Phillies, 8.5.
Yeah.
That. I know that has to be weather. You said there's weather. I know that the Red Sox, you know, sometimes Fenway's, but
mid-80s, 80 degrees, wind blowing out, dead left.
Like, Nola Houck, you could argue a 7. Like, is the weather enough to make you think that that's an over? Or do those
No, I still like the under.
I agree.
Because I broke that game down earlier, and it basically came down to, man, you're telling me Fenway, because it was almost like a upset, because that's one where you would circle and be like, boy, we just got to line up on this game. Two pitchers that are very good. Two lineups that don't set up very well against the pitcher. Because sometimes you can argue and say, let's just say how hot the Yankees are right now. Ooh, they're in Fenway against Houck. You're like, you know what? There's 7 guys in this lineup all green here for the Yankees. I'll take my chances that they could lump this guy up. But it doesn't check out that way. Literally, like 3 to 4 batters, like maybe 2 batters on Boston makes sense. So even though it's the perfect place, I don't think I can get after a total. Even like you, hey, maybe the weather doesn't get any better this summer at Fenway than what it is tonight, and you still aren't able to take that total, which is certainly a tough scene out there. Yeah. Yep, just the way it breaks down.
A stunning one for me, just to look at there. Just 8.5.
There was a 6.5 out there today, too. 6.5 out there today. You know, ballpark, you don't have to think about it. Yeah, it's Seattle. Every game is 6.5 out there against the White Sox. By the way, White Sox 5-29 on the road. Tough scene. And you know what? I'm taking them tonight. Deal with that, people. I'm taking them tonight with the plus 150. Whoa. Let's get to some NBA talk. NBA Finals MVP? Yeah, that's next.
No.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get money. It's the Junior Mafia. They must be telling us something here. Is there any money to be made on the NBA Player Awards section of the FanDuel Sportsbook with NBA Finals MVP 2024? Jaylen Brown, minus 340, people, to win that award. And you might be thinking to yourself, of course. He's got 25 more points on the series than Jason Tatum. He's got 20 more assists and 15 more rebounds. This is going to be a lock. That ain't the case. These guys are neck and neck. And Jaylen Brown, who already won the MVP from the Eastern Conference Finals, now market favorite. And I say this, Kevin, the reason I wanted to bring this up is this is actually more interesting now than the series itself. Because I know how everything plays out in the mind of superstars. Jason Tatum's going to get his first NBA championship, and he's not going to walk away with that MVP. Like, that's going to sting a little bit. Even though he needs that title, we know he's a great basketball player. The fact that the Eastern Conference Finals and the Finals would go to Jaylen Brown. So let's just say, Kevin, he never wins another NBA championship. People like, you know, he's going to wind up maybe on TNT at one point or ESPN, and he's going to have a guy like Charles Barkley or Shaq, like, man, they rode the coattails to that finals, man. I don't care how many All-NBA awards you win, you rode the coattails there in the finals in the Eastern Conference to Brown. So me thinking, Tatum at plus 270, Kevin, he's shooting 30 times tomorrow night, Jason Tatum.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny, Donnie, because do you think, how much of a chance are you giving Dallas to hold off Boston here for at least a game?
After last night, it's really diminished. It really is. Because that's the game. Like, the reason I bring that up, and I'll throw it right back to you, is you had the perfect start. You had Kyrie heated up and a double-digit lead in the first quarter and that building on fire, and you lost. Mm-hmm. I don't see them getting it back. Honestly, I hope it does. I don't see it going back to five for Boston.
Yeah. I tend to think it will, but here's why that's important. If Tatum can outplay Brown, and it's a win, right? It might not be enough because it feels like the narrative has just shifted so far to Jaylen Brown. But if Tatum can slightly outplay him in game four and then comfortably outplay him in the closeout, he's live. You know, it is incredible to watch because look, as much as I believe fully confidently that Boston would win this series, I am currently dead wrong about Tatum winning finals MVP being a necessity in order for that to happen. Dallas's offense hasn't been as good. Obviously, there's a number of things at play here, but this is just one of these situations, Donnie, where the reason it's such a disaster for Tatum is that Eastern Conference Finals MVP. That's where the nightmare is checking in. It's the fact that he's going to lose both. Losing both. Donnie, if you look at it, right? Guys that have won both Finals MVP and Conference Finals MVP. Yeah. That's Jokic, that's Steph, and it didn't exist prior to that, right? We've not seen anyone not win both. But that's why I was so confident that Tatum would win finals MVP, because he's the best player on the team. Now, Donnie, you're going to have a situation where, once again, the winner of the conference finals MVP ended up winning finals MVP, but you go, wait a minute, that's not the guy that was supposed to win.
Yep.
We have a bit of a problem on our hands all of a sudden now. And it's where I still think Tatum is the better basketball player, DRS. But it's a hard argument to make that he's better, comfortably better, however you really want to label it, when Jaylen Brown is about to win finals MVP and conference finals MVP.
Yeah. No, it's tough all the way around, and I'm just surprised that usually, because yesterday going into that game, I don't think either one of the players themselves separated, but Tatum was a favorite coming into that game, and that was a big underdog.
In-game, Donnie, he was a big favorite. In-game, he was a big favorite, Donnie. Jaylen Brown had 6 first-half points.
Yeah.
Like, it was... It had become Tatum's award. And again, Jaylen Brown just snatched it. You know, here's one of the things that's kind of difficult for me as somebody invested on Tatum Finals MVP as my main Boston bet.
Yeah.
I think Tatum can still win it. But if I had a vote, Donnie, it wouldn't go to Tatum. That'd be a bad vote. He's not deserving of Finals MVP.
I think he's closing it out game 4. I think he's 35 plus. Yeah.
But if you had a vote right now, you wouldn't vote Tatum.
Probably not. No. Probably not. But it's not, again, it's all price derivative where it's like, hey, by the way, would you vote Tatum? Oh, he's plus 150, Brown's plus 140. Like, yeah, it makes sense, and that's the way it should be. It literally, again, that's why I started the segment with, you want with Jaylen Brown, you know, 25 more points. Like, he's crushing Jason Tatum. There's no chance he can come back, and that's really not the case. Let's get to the phone lines here. Somebody yesterday won a nice ticket that was posted on Twitter yesterday. You know who that guy was, Kevin? It was the X-Man. And maybe today, backing it up with another dub. What's up there, X-Man?
Hey, what's up? Everybody know this is the best show ever. Show of the year again.
There you go.
Oof. 3 years
back to back. 3 years now.
Mm. We going in today, man. We going
yep,
with two
go.
MLBs. We going with the Phillies and the Yankees on the money line. We going
like
with
it.
The WNBA. Atlanta Dream and Seattle Storm on the money line.
Yeah.
6-1.
There we go. By the way, he sent the goods yesterday, K-Dub. Hit a couple $100 free bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Put that bad boy in a 3-leg parlay. Came away with like a G-note. How about that?
That's right.
Yeah, you know, it's actually incredible. It's not the first time we've seen X-Man have one of those monster bonus bets.
Yeah.
I think I've cracked the code on how he's acquired it.
Go ahead.
Because I, the other day, Donnie, off of Dinger Tuesday, had myself an $80 bonus bet. They put it on one, the bonus bet. They don't divvy it up like by game.
Correct. Yes.
So, and I had bet four games, four home run props this past Dinger Tuesday.
Yes.
So... X-Man must bet like every game, Dinger Tuesday style, and he comes out with a huge $200 bonus.
Would be nice. Would be nice. If
apparently,
I could do that.
Though, Donnie may end up with not that, which is incredible.
Max 25, man. That's all you can get. But even though I did win on Dinger Tuesday, but again, it's like the fun where Kevin was explaining to me, you should be in. I was like, you know what? Every Tuesday, I'll bet 10 games if it makes sense and see what I can pile up at this point. And the fact that I had a great night and came away with $25 in bonus, I was like, yep, that's just yours. And not that I can't have fun with it and should do it anyway, just the principle of it. Like, why can't I get what anybody else is getting? Like, hey, just subject to the way your account is, pal. And it costed me a lot, too, because football season, going between Bet365 and FanDuel was so much fun because they would mirror each other on most nights on big games. Oh, they're going to go 50%? I'll go 50%. I'm like, man, I got two bets in here, 50% tonight, every single Monday, every single Thursday, every single Sunday. And then they took that away from me. It's almost like, hey, FanDuel's got this. I said, look, man, I don't know. Yeah, it's better on FanDuel. Like, I can't get anything out of it at that point, which is a shame because I would love to have $200 and $300 bets free every once in a while. I would be doing the same thing. Let's run it up. Let's get some dollars in here. And it certainly hasn't worked out. By the way, just to update the people in baseball, Atlanta looks like they're on their way to breaking through into the win column. 4-0 right now over Baltimore. Okay. Top of the 6th inning. Washington and Detroit 1-1. Yankees in Kansas City, no score yet. Top of the 3rd inning and no runs, which is not what I wanted to see. Pittsburgh and St. Louis also underway. Bottom of the 2nd inning, nothing there either and no hits in that game. So, and that, by the way, was a weather condition game, Kevin. Close to 90 degrees wind blowing out to left field. So we got some nice environments today. Atlanta was a very nice environment with Baltimore, but not a ton of scoring yet. That Washington-Detroit game, close to 90 degrees, but wind blowing in from right field in that one. But every other game here had some really good numbers. I just need them to start to play out now.
Yeah, the Yankees thing is just, I mean, it's remarkable, man. They're just destroying teams. There's nothing that people can do because Soto just walks every at bat.
Yeah, he does.
And then you just have to pitch to Judge.
Nine players in the lineup yesterday. Multiple guys with double two RBIs or more. Every single player got a base hit except DJ LeMahieu, floundering in that nine hole right now. It's a Thursday afternoon. Much, much more to go. Make sure you stick around. It's Donnie and Kevin right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Boom. Watching a little U.S. Open, interesting golf course. Ander Schauffele standing knee deep in some fescue and what looks like just a pine barren out there where he's hitting out of. But I got to tell you, it's an interesting U.S. Open golf course because it doesn't have true rough like you think a U.S. Open does, where miss the fairway, it's over. It's more of like an adventure. Like, you might get lucky, you might not get lucky, but it looks like the penalties aren't that steep, as if you cannot hit your next shot. And Schauffele just hits one out of that fescue slash rough and knocks it right over to the opposite side, but it goes up the hill and rolls back down close to the green. It's a wild golf course that anybody who's ever played, you know, as a golf as a public, some of these golf courses, like, hey, I thought I hit a good shot. Yeah, why am I 15 yards off the green because it rolled off? That's got to be a maddening golf course to play.
Yeah, I don't have, you know, I'm not a golfer, so I don't have a good read, but I can imagine the frustration for these guys where what they're typically doing is just no longer the right thing anymore. And it's so interesting because it's such a tough course, but the idea for a lot of people, Nani, is this was the course for Scotty. It was perfect for him. And it's like, yeah. I thought this was a course that is supposed to be this difficult is perfect for Scotty Scheffler. It's kind of remarkable.
Yeah. By the way, just some other topics here. Did you see the NFL news, Kevin, that came out today? Tampering charges. The Eagles have been cleared.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
And then I got a fifth-round pick for Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta. And it was funny because you didn't really know where the reading process would come through. It's like, now hold on. Like, there is a tampering period. But then you legitimately would have to say, it's as if, you know, you can't buy a house and close on a house within like 3 minutes, right? Take some time. Appraisals you got to go through, inspections, loans, funding, all that stuff. The reason I bring that up is, like, NFL contracts are very, very detailed. And like, okay, 1201, here we go. It's a plethora of guys are signed. And the NFL's like, yeah, that's, you know, there's no tampering there. Like, why they see tampering and not see tampering, I've always had questions on. Because the joke was like, yes, Saquon Barkley got signed to the Eagles right away. But even before, like, DeAndre Swift, the minute free agency hit was a Chicago Bear. Like, I didn't tamper on that one. So I don't know where they, or just somebody has a vendetta, or somebody's faxing documents behind the scenes to the NFL to catch the other team. I don't know how they determine it.
Yeah, it's very strange. It didn't seem like it was something the Eagles were going to be let off for, and yet they have been. So I guess hooray. you know, it's a strange one, DRS. It really, really is. It's a strange one.
Yep. Now, how about this other strange one here? You ready for this? J.J. Redick will now officially interview for the job of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about this morning. I got a kick out of this because apparently it was supposed to be a shoe-in. It's J.J. Redick, and then all of a sudden it was Hurley, and now they're back to Redick. But the question is the compensation, right? Where it's like, oh, it's got to... Because the Lakers, I do believe, felt they made a great offer to get a coach out of college who's never coached in the NBA, but not understanding the landscape of what they were dealing with, where it's like, this guy doesn't have to leave. Like, he doesn't coach at Coastal Carolina. He's an upcoming guy that's begging to get to the NBA at all costs. This was a guy that's like, I don't want to leave here. I turned down Kentucky, which maybe would have doubled my money. I'm fine. I'm comfortable at UConn. I love it here. And then the NBA comes calling. Okay, you know what? It's going to take a lot to get this guy, which is why we anticipated a $100 million plus contract coming to Hurley. Turns out it was 6 for $70. I know a lot of people with the notion of, well, that's the starting point now for J.J. Redick. No, it's not. They are going to lowball the hell out of J.J. Redick, and they'll get away with it because they'll say, like, it's an NBA job. It's open. You've never coached before. You're going to learn on on the fly? Yeah, we're giving you 5 years, $20 million total, and deal with that. And if it works out, you'll get extensions and everything will be in your favor. I am fascinated to watch this play out, knowing what was on the table for Hurley, where they didn't want J.J. Redick. Now they say they want Redick, and they're going to pay him half of what they were going to pay Dan Hurley.
Well, let's just put it like this, though, Donnie. Let's say they offer him 10 a year, right? You feel it'll be much less than that. Do you think JJ's currently making $10 million a year between the ESPN deal and his own podcast stuff?
I'll say no.
You think it's close?
I don't know if it's close. Let's say ballparking it. I don't know. What? $5 million bucks if we ballpark
He's calling the NBA Finals, Tony. Like, you know, it's not cheap.
No, it isn't. But it came off the heels of, we're going to buy these guys out and the new legs are coming in. So does that mean, again, right, that like Doris Burke or whatever is making $10 million? No way. Like, I think they were like, you know what? These guys were older. They were expensive. Yeah, yeah. We're going to go lighter and we'll still get the same type of results. So I can't imagine that they're breaking the bank.
If ESPN is giving him $5 million, I would say the floor is like four, right? My point is, he's doing a LeBron podcast. He has his own separate podcast. It's kind of a podcast network type thing he has going. All I'm saying is, and again, maybe I'm he's making, let's call it at least, Donnie, $8 million a year off court right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, again, like the Lakers are going to be like, hey, do you want significantly more stress and travel on your life for the same amount of money? Because you imagine J.J. Redick is going to be giving up, I mean, anything that he does at ESPN. Like, is he going to really be? I know Draymond does his podcast, right?
Yep.
I would say, and I don't know if you would agree, a player doing it isn't as bad as a coach. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, exactly. Because the player could just blow off steam in his room and record the podcast and get a player or call somebody up and have it on there. It doesn't ricochet as much as a head coach, right? Because Draymond Green can be like, this guy sucks. This guy's terrible. I'll D him up. He's a bum. A coach being like, I can't wait to get Wemby out there because we're going to expose the hell out of this guy, and it's going to be so much fun. It's a little bit more professional is what it's supposed to be from a coaching side of it.
Right, yeah, and even like here's J.J. Redick's NBA Finals preview of Celtics-Mavericks while being employed by the Lakers. Like, next year's finals, right, Donnie? Or Lakers get eliminated in round one, and he's doing his round two preview. It's like,
yes.
This isn't what you should be doing right now. You're the coach of the Lakers. Like,
exactly.
So I think he'd have to give up a lot of that stuff. Like, the more you – but, again, it's one of those things. If he has a desire to be a head coach,
he does.
It's worth it, right? Yeah. It's just – it's a very, very fascinating thing.
Like, and he's young at this point in his post-career. He could – if he's a good coach, he could coach 20 years at the NBA with escalating salaries. And you know what I mean? If he doesn't work out, he goes right back to the podcast game, and he made, you know, $100-plus million in his NBA career. He will be just fine. One more segment to go. It's what we do right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
By the way, quickly here, new age in college football, which, you know, through Twitter and just checking some websites of what's taking place, where the Big 12 now, Kevin, is exploring selling its naming rights to a title sponsor with potential revenue of hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of the deal, which is really crazy. The commercial sponsor, it says, would potentially take the name Big out of Big 12 and replace it with their name. So instead of being Big 12, it would be the Dr. Pepper 12? This is good. Hey, by the way, did you win your conference? Yeah, we won the Dr. Pepper conference last year. So I get a kick out of this because there is no, you know, the cat's out of the bag on amateur athletics and all hell is going to break loose. And again, in just a few years, here's what's going to happen, Kevin. You ready for this? The NCAA is going to get pulled out the rug out beneath them for football. It's going to turn into basically a secondary professional league where you don't have to go to school, Kevin, and you don't have any eligibility terms, which means if you're 34 and they'll pay you, you can still play college football. We're headed there, honestly. I believe that.
Well, It's very interesting, Donnie, because I'm not sure they're going to fully take the school out of it. But it, to a degree, Donnie, it's not it's the wrong thing. I mean, no idea. It is a professional sport. It's the amount of money involved, Donnie, the amount of eyeballs, the amount of work that goes into it. I don't know, DR. Like, it's an odd thing because I don't think you want to eliminate school, right? But, because then what? Like, the SEC is a minor league system. Like, if you eliminate school, Donnie, like, it becomes a little too complicated then, no?
I don't think it does. And I think if you ask college coaches, they would love that. What, I don't have to tell a kid he's got to go to class? I could just get him for football. He lives on campus. Maybe he doesn't anymore. You're just associated with the University of Alabama at that point. That's what we're probably getting to. It just feels that way. Where, yes, you don't want to take it out. But how much more, like, because the money is only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Because if we're led to believe that each school's got like a $20 million pool and the school can pay him and you can also use NIL money on top of that, I don't know where you stop. I really don't. It's crazy because, you know, the one, well, that's going to bring other. No, the same schools that are good at football right now, people, they'll be good at football in 25 years under the same exact rules that they were playing for before. Like, now North Carolina's going to dominate out here. Well, why would they dominate when you're just saying, like Alabama should be like, we're not paying anybody. Nick Saban is here. You come here because you want to go to school and you want to become an NFL player, and that's good enough for everybody else. Somehow Alabama started playing tons of money, even though they were always the best team anyway. Everybody adjusted that point. So I just think it's fascinating where this is full stop. Like, okay, it's going to stop here. You'll pay them a little bit of dollars where they can get burritos on the weekend, and that'll be the end of it. Now players are million-dollar entities and conferences, which is crazy because, like, hey, Pac-12 I know is gone. Just use them as a name. Big Ten, Pac-12, SEC. They're no longer going to be called that anymore. I almost hearken it back to the Cincinnati Bengals when I joke. It's like, we got to pay Joe Burrow. All right, we got to take Daddy's name off the stadium now. We got to sell it. Like, that's what's happening now in college sports, where everything is up for sale, like a yard sale right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wouldn't, though, but it's, again, I don't know, it's fine. The All-State SEC Conference. I don't know. I'm going to still call it the SEC, right?
But I'm going to just get rid of SEC, though. But it's called the Dr. Pepper Conference.
It's the, okay. I don't know. I think we'll survive. I think we'll, like, Donnie, I still call it Twitter.
You know? No, I get it.
I don't know. I'm not super worried about it. I think it's interesting, you know. But again, it's almost funny, Donnie. I wonder if, in a way, once they like stop pretending they couldn't play players, they were like, all right, you know, we might as well just start getting everything going here. You know, we've been lying to ourselves for quite some time.
Yep. Big cash on the table. By the way, Major League Baseball today. Come on, man. Can we get some RBIs going here? So I don't have to wait till late in the day. Braves still up 4-0 here over the Orioles. They got 10 hits, by the way, the Braves. That's in the top of the 7th inning. One runner on. I don't know what's going on. My ESPN is just going bonkers right now. Oh, yeah. It's updating slow here. Let me just hit the refresh button because, like, guys were like running around the bases on me as I'm watching, and that's not supposed to happen. 4-0, top of the 7th inning. Man on second base, 2 outs. The Nationals have tied up the Tigers. That's 2-2. Yankees and the Royals, bottom of the 4th inning. What? Hold on. One hit in this game. Is that what we're saying to ourselves? Whoa. We got 90-degree temperatures and the wind blowing out, and it's 0-0 against two guys that are hittable here. The Cardinals up 2-0 here on the Pirates. Next game up on the dock, it's going to be Cubs and Rays a little bit later. Look at that, man. A day we're supposed to get a ton of runs. We're not getting anything here as Bobby Witt Jr. steps to the plate. You never know with that guy. Might be able to change the tune very quickly here. But that'll do it for today on a Thursday. We'll be back on a Friday. Good luck out there with your bets tonight. Mavona behind the wheels of steel, making us look good. And also, OK-Dub and Donnie Wrightside here. We'll be back tomorrow for a Friday edition of Moneyline. See ya.
It's not hard to spot a Sports Grid listener. Just look for somebody who's very familiar with winning.
Get your winning edge right here.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.